Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me. She D T F.
She tell me she
D T F.
I heard she
D T F.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well, Lil' Mama back.
Welcome to DTF, the Daryl Timmery Fun Hour, the greatest sex education comedy, sometimes game show, currently podcast in the known universe. Hi, I'm Dr. Timmery. I'm your resident sexuality educator.
And I'm Robin to Dr. Timmery's Batman, Batwoman, Batperson, awesome bat.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I never really.
I'm the proxy for the audience. That's why they introduced Robin, because kids couldn't identify with a grown man. So they gave him a little boy.
Oh.
And so the audience would be like, I'm like Robin.
Okay. Well, okay. So I liken myself more to Daredevil.
Sure.
So then that would make you my, what was his other lawyer?
Yeah, the other lawyer friend?
Shit. Yeah.
Wally? Something.
It's something like that.
It's something like that, right? Like,
I suddenly can't remember his name. I was like,
very much like Archie's friend or Jimmy Olsen. Yeah, very much. Yeah, but like, yes. Yep. Then I'm that guy.
I like that comparison because, first of all, Daredevil's not.
He's actually fighting for the people.
Yeah. He's not working like basically Elon, like what Elon Musk thinks he's doing.
What Zuckerberg's training for.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I will rule over the masses who are plugged into my social media network, and then I will pummel everyone else who is not in the metaverse because they're not really people.
It's also a good comparison, Batman to Zuckerberg, because of the massive amount of surveillance on the citizens.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Daredevil is a kid with a lot of Catholic trauma.
True.
Who, despite hardship as a child, has managed to become very good at martial arts.
Yes.
I feel like that's a better comparison. And then you're a better comparison because like you're also a competent lawyer, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I didn't get the ooze.
I bet you sometimes get the ooze. Like,
oh yeah. No, I make my own ooze, but it's not really it's not a superpower, but it's remarkable.
So like last night I was naturally at a burlesque show and a performer did an act about tentacles and also brought out some slime, and it was just like, how have I not seen this specific thing before? You know, like I've been in the game for a while and I'm just like, wow, okay, you can still learn new things. You can still
to see someone like with the attraction with tentacle.
I'm familiar with that. I don't know. Yeah. I'd also seen tentacle burlesque act, but I'd never seen the slime integrated in that way before. And
I'm
there's just always new innovation, you know?
Yeah.
It's totally. Always nice. Yeah.
It is always nice. I'm trying to work on a joke about how intimate it is to know your someone's porn preferences.
Oh yeah.
I have two different stories, one where I found out about someone's and one where they found out about mine, but it is like it's like a deeply personal thing.
Yeah. That's like seeing inside your head. But
yeah.
they don't even have like necessarily the context to understand what it is that you like out of
right.
it. You know?
Right.
Like
right.
What I see may not be what you see.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like you can know that there's tentacle porn and you can imagine that there's slime. But it's not until you see someone with either an interest or a knowledge, apply those two things together, that you go, oh, that's a way to like it that I didn't think about because I don't like either one of those things inherently.
Yeah, I mean, the appeal of tentacle porn, I just want to shout out to Cinnamon Cherie, who's a burlesque performer who gave a do both talk on the history of like shunga and hentai and like tentacle porn and stuff like that. And it was one of the most pornographic things I've ever seen. I was just enamored. And it was just all of this Eastern art that was like skirting around censorship rules, basically by instead of having dicks, you have,
tentacles and stuff like that. That way it's not porn. And yeah. Yep.
and like the long, vibrant history of images yeah. like that. It was super, super interesting. And then I was asking her, she was talking about how she had thought about bringing a tentacle porn act to that show. Mm. And she didn't have time. And I was like, well, how much time do you need to do it by July 9th? And she did. So
yeah.
So we got it last night. So she's just like a genius person. I'm very excited to see what she does in burlesque. She also did a spoken word burlesque last night that was all about hanky code.
Oh boy.
And religious
trauma.
That's one
of my favorite codes.
Yeah.
To know about from an external view.
Yeah.
Because I've never had to be so secretive to satisfy any of my urges that I needed to learn and then employ a complex code so that I wouldn't be beaten in the street for it.
Yeah, she had a really interesting spoken word piece about it, and it starts with her being one of the many people in a very, very super Jesus-y school if you were thin and you were white and you were like a pastor's daughter, you were like the peak popularity, and those sure. girls were wearing like handkerchief fashion as like seen by Beyonce and Mariah Carey. And so she's just like talking about like how they don't know hanky code, but they're walking around wearing like a tank top that implies that they're really into fisting. It was a great thing. Yeah.
It's like when a little girl, it's like when a little child wants to put on nail polish. It's like, yeah, you have no idea what you're doing. And it's cute. Mm-hmm. It's even cuter because I'm not a monster and I do know what it means. Right. And so it's not like you're not sexualizing a child by letting them put on nail polish. They're just putting fun colors on their nails. Mm-hmm. When you say like, it's whorish. That is your mm-hmm. projection onto that child playing with colors. Mm-hmm. You know, the same colors Ned Grover talks about.
Colors are great.
Colors are great. And sometimes if I'm using crayons, my fingers get red. And then I see somebody has red on the other side of their fingers outside and I want some. And no, that's for whores. It's like, why would you do that to a child?
I don't know. Yeah. People can't help project, I think.
That's totally. But yeah.
On that note, I think it's time we get into our first regular segment, mm-hmm. which is the fucking news. So we got some fun stories for you today. It is rare that we get it's like real hard science in here.
Yeah.
That's not usually what makes it into the media where we can encounter it. But so this is an interesting story about there are these structures in our nerves in a lot of creatures. They're in I think maybe all mammals as far as we can gather. But they are these nerve filled capsules that we have just assumed for like over 100 years that they are about detecting temperature changes and responding mm-hmm. to becoming cold and that sort of thing. They are in these delicate tissues called the Krauss corpuscles. And there is new research that suggests it's not about cold. And it has to do much more with that really lovely sensory light touches, little bits of vibration across the skin. And that there's actually really not a lot of evidence to support this idea that it has to do with temperature. They don't seem to actually be responding to that. And their locations are interesting. So like a lot of these tissues are found in the glans, penis, the clitoris. They're also in some of the other really sensitive tissues like mucus cells in the lips and the tongue, actually also in the eye.
Yeah.
But in mouse-based studies, they have seemed to find that these sensory things might have a significant connection to like sexual arousal. And we're looking at not only where they are placed, but they discovered, I don't even know how to necessarily describe the study correctly, but they, by stimulating the structures in restrained male mice with mechanical and optogenic attention, aroused them.
Right.
So the mice who were genetically engineered to lack those nerve bundles did not get aroused.
Right. They did
not. That's the correlation.
Right. They did not do the behavior that's typically associated with arousal. Yeah. So because of that, you know, they're trying to avoid the causation equals correlation thing. But like, they're like, look, we, in a very specific way, we stimulated them and they showed no response to it because we know that we turned off the ability for them to have kinky fun times.
Yeah.
And so they're like, this may have to do with kinky fun times. And it's like these bundles, these corpuscles.
Such a good word.
Yeah, yeah. I always think of pimples, but anyway, these corpuscles are associated with the light, light touch and the very low vibrations that can be associated with sexual contact.
So like real tingly stuff, like as opposed to
friction,
the bump 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 stuff.
Right, like not the banging in the stuff, but the friction and whatnot. And it's like the you know, and not so much reaction to cold weather. I think it's because of the engorgement of the glands when aroused that they probably thought it had to do with hot and cold weather.
Yeah, I mean, I like, again,
this is all guessing.
Yeah, we don't go into science stuff a lot because that's not my area of expertise in sexuality. I mean, I can talk to you about like how menstruation works, but yeah, so it's like, you know, this is of course like an extrapolation. Like, first of all, mice aren't people, but you know, there's definitely a lot of research done on one mammal to, you know, extrapolate to humans.
Yeah.
Because we can't just like cut off somebody's like nerve bundles and see.
It's not okay. Right. Sex. And that's like, the funny thing, like reading this, I got in my squicks about the genetic engineering and I was like, man, like that's mad scientist shit to be like, you know what we did with these mice? We turned off their dicks for sex purposes. And then we let them loose. And guess what? Everything was fine. They peed regular. Everything. When we heated their balls up, they dropped. When we made them cold, they shrunk. All that stuff worked. Then we held them down and we jerked them off. And guess what? They didn't come. They didn't even enjoy it. When they said when they did the same thing in women, the women did not respond, even though they were in estrus. So it was just like we cut off their ability for pleasure.
Yeah.
And this is what happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, and they did it through genetic engineering. So they knew which pieces of their DNA turned that stuff on. And then they just they turned it off.
Yeah. It is. It's also really interesting how it worked out like in male mice versus female. Cause like the male mice didn't stop having sex.
No.
They just did it for shorter.
Right.
And they delayed starting. They had more interruptions. But they still went through it, but they didn't show arousal signs other than that. And then in the female mice, even if they were in estrus, they were just like not into it. They just like zero interest in it if they lacked these critical structures. So
men are monsters. No. I have to make the ooze. I have to. You don't understand. This isn't about you. It's not even about me. It's about the ooze.
It's about the ooze. Once again, coming back to Daredevil. And then, by proxy, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Exactly. Look it up, people.
Yeah.
Intersectionality. What's good for the turtle is good for the lawyer.
That's and a the really rat. Good. Yeah, that's a really good mantra.
Yeah, what's good for the turtle is good for the lawyer. What?
Put that on a bumper sticker.
It takes a long time, but they eventually win the race when they fucking take over the government and make it operate against the will of the people.
Hmm.
Damn, that's deep.
Whoops. We once again did what DTF does.
Oh no. It's okay. We're talking about fun little corpuscles that have to do with you coming. Yeah. I think it's awesome, but it is also that thing of like, you know, sure, I'm like, eat animals, cook them, do all that stuff, but like turning off their fun bits? I'm like, wait, no.
That's mean.
And it's just mice, but it's like, but the idea is like, it might be. See, this is like potentially informing research into treating various dysfunctions. So
hopefully.
Right. But that's the idea. So the idea is like, I mean, again, I'm doing a lot of extrapolating based on my science knowledge. I did go to college for engineering, so I took a lot of classes in science. If they can turn off these genes in the mice, then they might be able to turn off these genes in people who commit sex crimes. You see? And the idea behind that is just, you know, just based on this paper, right? Because if you could turn them off in mice, and those are mammals, then you could turn them off in people. And so if we figure out that you can do that, it can be a chemical castration, which again is just,
I mean, we already have chemical castration.
Right.
And we also know that it doesn't do a whole lot, because most sex offenses, especially like people who do it compulsively, are not doing it for getting their sexual needs met. They're doing it because it's a really terrible coping strategy, because they don't have good coping strategies. And so it's usually an act of control and violence. But
yes. And you see, yeah, that's where all of the science comes together. But if we stick with a system where we keep saying like punishment is what's going to fix it, then we just keep coming up with new ways to punish mammals and then do really weird science to them to prove that we could do it in different ways. So, you know, Occam's razor, Oppenheimer, whatever. It's really interesting and a cool thing to be like, you know, the fact that like vibrators work, right? It's like, yeah, maybe those corpuscles are part of the reason why vibrations tend to stimulate.
Yeah, I mean, there's a heavy concentration of them in the glands and in the clitoris. And of course, those are analogous tissues.
Exactly. And those are analogous tissues. So it's like, you know, it might also do with, you know, who knows? You can, you know, do whatever. But the science behind it is what this is about. And that's cool, but also terrifying, because I think, you know, but yeah, I think playing with... how else is the science going to come about, I guess, is the real question.
One of the things that I do want to say is lovely about this study. So we read this on sciencealert.com, and there are images of the stained tissues that like show the concentrations of the corpuscles. And it's beautiful. It looks like lavender flowers.
Yeah, it's like something poison ivy would like that's it would be like in a poison ivy poison that like Batman looked at in a like a, you know, electron microscope or whatever that's in his tool belt. Like it but it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, you can tell like it's natural and whatnot. Kind of looks like jellyfish.
Yeah, also looks a little bit like the decor at a rave,
right? See, because it's all about the natural stuff, baby. But yeah,
it's really lovely. Yeah,
it's really 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 pretty pictures.
I'm just happy they're doing this research at all, because like you know, sexual pleasure is not something that gets a ton of research. So that's just nice that that's happening at all.
Exactly. It is. Yeah. And, you know, and the study has yet to be peer reviewed. And again, the whole idea of science is, and it just goes to what you just said about like, there's not a lot of research about this stuff. So like when you do make a breakthrough, you make a paper and you ask your colleagues to replicate your results, like try it different ways, do the same thing just to prove that I wasn't lying, you know? So a lot more science has to be done. And hey, if you are thinking about where to go for your next career or where to go to school, you can find out who wrote these papers.
We need more sex researchers. That'd be cool.
Yeah. We need more pleasure researchers.
More money for it too. Yeah.
That too.
But speaking of research on sexuality, that'll take us to our next piece of fucking news. And that has to do with comparisons of popular kinks and taboos and interests in the US versus in Europe. So a few years ago, Dr. Justin Laymiller, he did one of the most broad definitive studies on like what people are into. He's a sexual fantasy researcher. And his 2018 book said, you know, what a lot of people are into. It's, you know, pretty expected submission, domination, exhibition, that kind of stuff. And then a researcher in the Netherlands and Belgium cross-referenced findings about European populations and found basically a lot of the same stuff. But what the big difference was between the two areas was Americans are way more interested in the ideas of group sex, cuckolding, and other, you know, things like that than Europeans. And the suggestion here is it's not that Americans are actually more into those things. It's that it's more taboo in America. And we get really turned on by what's taboo. And part of what indicates that taboo is an element of it is that it's very religiously conservative, traditional men who are the most interested in cuckolding because it is the most taboo, because to them, you know, your wife is like your exclusive property. So what could be more taboo? And someone with more egalitarian views would be like, that's a person, they can do what they want. Like,
right. I love that.
Yeah. So it's like incredibly arousing to some your US people, simply because it's actually quite scary to them. So
yeah, it's the scariest thing in the world to some Americans that you would share. It's so crazy that if you share, you'd be considered weak and bad and not respectable because you shared.
Yeah.
Man, it's almost as if, it's like you could draw a direct parallel with some people.
I mean, there are a lot of things that, like, we can see significant group differences between people with more progressive and more conservative values on the things that turn them on sexually. And, like, yeah, the taboo element is a piece of it. And, like, that's why I think on the progressive side, most kink people, a lot of them that I run into, they really like the power exchange dynamics. They like the role play authority thing, which is really funny because in the real world, those things are oppressive, right? And so it's really interesting. It's like the inverse of, you know, what you want to see in the world, but you want it to be played out consensually, I guess. Like, that's what makes it fine. Is like, I don't really want cops to have unlimited power, but if somebody wants to dress up and be mean mommy or whatever.
Right.
And they want to, want to specifically do a cop role play or whatever. I get it. The idea is separate from your opinion of American police.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, there's the lovely bit of nuance there, which is like, you cannot say that one person's fantasies are a direct result of one thing because there are a variety of ways to end up at a place. But you can still get data that says like these people tend to like these things, right? And the extrapolations you make are things like it's in the culture, right? If the culture says it's bad, then you're just going to gravitate to it more because it's bad and wrong, especially if you consider sex to be bad and wrong, right? So then all the bad and wrong stuff has to happen together, or when it all happens together, it's really exciting, right? So yeah, just, it says something about American culture that the idea of sharing has to be associated with something that also is undesirable, which is sexual fulfillment.
there's really significant differences in values on sexuality. And like, for instance, if you were raised in a conservative culture, especially a conservative religious culture, like the values are purity and deference to authority. The values are like loyalty, things like that. And so if that is what you have ingrained, then like your relationships need to include those things too, right?
Right. And that's important in those.
Those are the things that you value. But then on a more progressive side, generally the things we value are just different. And we want more like egalitarian things. We want more like consideration for everyone equally, you know, those are the things that we consider more important than necessarily like deference to authority or like being without sin, that kind of stuff. So
doing it the right way. But yeah, I mean, it's also a matter of like, your opinion on certain structures and how you internalize them personally. And it can have to do with the things you read, it can have to do with events that happened, it can have to do with, the people you grew up with or the people who you're around, the ideas that are introduced to you, right? But all of those things can matter, but yeah.
I think the other thing that this provides an opportunity to remind people of is like your fantasies are your fantasies and that's nobody else needs to know if you judge yourself for your fantasies. You will share with the people that you feel safe with, indulge in them to the degree that everybody involved is on board. But like, we're not here to police your thoughts.
No.
And like, if you fantasize about something that feels against your own values, like as long as you're engaging in it in a way that doesn't harm anybody,
right?
That's the thing. It can also just live in your brain. You can jerk off to it and never manifest it. You can look at consensually made erotic content that portrays it, even if it's not really happening in the real world. That's why like consensual non-consent is a pretty popular fantasy. But that doesn't mean people want to have it just happen in the real world. Like,
Exactly.
In specific context. So
you want to be like, held down doesn't mean you actually want to be held down like in the for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, it's about context. It's about like, you know, like what, again, like to know what somebody's porn is, like, what do you actually get out of it? What is it that, you know, how, like how that manifests could look very differently in one scene versus another.
Yeah.
And again, just to not judge yourself for the things that you like, because odds are good, it comes from places that are kind of deep seated around weird values that you have complicated feelings about. Like that's part of, that's part of how humans eroticize things. So just like, and I know a lot of people who feel very badly about the stuff that they get off to. And it's like, some of that's just like sexual shame from coming up in a purity culture, but some of it is, because it is at odds with your values. But it's like, if you're not actually, you know, doing anything that harms anyone, or the other people aren't able to fully consent to it, something like that, as long as everybody involved is an adult and has agreed to it, don't judge yourself. That would be what I would say about that. Or if you just keep it in your head, don't judge yourself, whatever.
It's, it's like, don't judge yourself. Or, I mean, investigate your feelings if it's really bothering you, right? Like, like, what about this is bothering me? Okay, well, is it this? Is it that? Like, why does it have to be, you know, exactly like this? You know, to do those explorations. I think it's personally fun to do those explorations of kink just for the academic reasons, in addition to the sexual ones. But I, you know, I'm the co-host of a sex ed comedy podcast, so. No. You see how I've come to terms with it. It's by putting my clothes on and reading a lot.
Welcome to everybody in sex ed grad school. Oh my gosh. On that note, we are going to head to our next regular segment, which is fucking idiot, fucking brilliant. It's pretty self-explanatory. Something that some we are not too pleased with, and something that we're like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So for our not cool fucking idiot, the latest shitty thing the Supreme Court did. Yay. Yeah. So late. I mean, they like since we found this article, more things have happened. But like the session is coming to an end. So hopefully the terrible
billionaires will take them away and hopefully they all die in collapsible submarines.
Wow. All right.
You know, on trips that were already going to be paid for. So it's not like you have to write them down. They would, you know, the seat was already available on this private jet and I just took the seat. It's not like they gave me money.
Yeah, it's totally different.
They did also give me money, but the seat is not money, you see. That's why I never put it down on my taxes. Not because I understand that this puts me in a dangerous conflict of interest and shows that I cannot be impartial in my very, very powerful job.
Yeah.
I just have friends who know me because of my powerful job. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Supreme Court of the United States.
Doing the least lately. So one of the things that they recently did is a big gut to the Civil Rights Act and the public accommodations laws. Yes. So most of the time in history, the Supreme Court has held that you can't discriminate against someone in providing a service that you sell. And then this fucking lady, she's a Colorado web designer. Her name's Lori Smith, and she's opposed to same-sex marriage because I don't know why it affects her on any level, but she decided, even though nobody has actually come at her and said, you have to.
It cannot be proven that there's a real person who has asked for this service because when she filed the original complaint, she did not even provide the service.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's basically hypothetically worried about potentially being put in an awkward situation.
And then when it was thrown out of court because they were like, wait a minute, you are here with absolute horseshit. It is alleged that her or someone associated with this case filed a complaint falsely under another person's name. And that person is a straight man who has never cared about this person or their businesses. This is all complete fraud, but it made it all the way up to the Supreme Court. Mm. And the thing is, in this decision, it is very specific, and it doesn't necessarily mean that nobody can whatever, but it does mean that in this case, they're siding with the people who want to exclude people from businesses.
Yeah.
from a specific business.
Yeah. So she makes websites that are going to be like stories of people's relationships for their weddings. And mm-hmm. her argument is that because it's like her words and her original artwork, she should not be forced to do this. And again, no one is even
against messaging she doesn't believe in.
Yeah. And it's like, no one literally has even asked you to do that. And she took it all the way to the Supreme Court. So now if any queer person wants to, you know, like, that's the thing is, like, what does this even mean? Because, like, what will it apply to? Does it mean that, like, we're back at the baking cakes thing again? Because, mm-hmm. Like, what counts as art here? What counts as, like, you know, what counts as your freedom of speech? And, like, the dissents, the justices who were like, this is fucking stupid, were all like, you know, the whole point of public accommodations is like in a free and democratic society, your money is good anywhere. Like, that's it. That's the end of the story. And like, unless you're like breaking some specific rule, like at a bar and you're like throwing a chair or something, like your money is good, whether you are whatever race, you're whatever gender you are. Right. Those are the things we should not be having social castes. Mm-hmm. So the implications of this are really questionable because it's like, how does this apply? To what businesses, you know, to what people, like, really, like, so, like, if you have a cemetery and somebody wants to have a headstone that refers to their, like, partner, like, can they refuse that?
Right.
And, like, one of the things they pointed to is, like, maybe this exception will make progressive people think differently, is that there was, like, a dressmaker who refused to make a gown for Melania Trump for mm-hmm. the inauguration. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, if you can see the wisdom of that, maybe you're like, okay, maybe we do want to, whatever. But like,
nah, because that's for a person. Different.
That's what? For like it's, a guy, not a class of people.
Right, and it's for a political ideology, which is exactly. not a way of being. It's not a faith.
At
it's
a political a event too. An inauguration is an inherently political event, and he's an inherently political person using, you know, like this is all very specific. Yeah. So it's different. It is so very, very different.
It's not the same as we're gay and we want you to write, you know, husband instead of wife.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's like, how will this end up applying? Who knows? Because everything is a matter of enforcement, right? And if you live in a small town and there's only one place that does a thing, and having this be the law of the land means that they can tell you to fuck off. And like, if you're queer or you're trans or like whatever group that they feel like discriminating against, it's that could mean it becomes onerous and too expensive and you're like unable to access basic goods and services because of it.
We're trying to give the gays a Juneteenth. Because one day in the future, we'll be like, that was fucking dumb. And then they'll be like, we're finally free.
We'll
even though in the meantime, everyone knows that it's wrong. But some people want to remain doing the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're like, we don't have a problem with our people. It's y'all that have a problem with yours. And the conversation always comes down to states' rights.
In it's America. Like, it's just really curious. Like, it is curious how this is actually going to work out because most people don't want to sue about things.
Right. And that's funny because that was in one of the decisions from one of these dickheads, because the people on the majority of this decision was like, you know, this is a very specific thing and it really won't matter because it's not like a lot of companies want to discriminate and it's not like a lot of gay people want to sue. And I'm like, how is that the reason to say that it's okay to discriminate? Like, it won't happen a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's also hard to say. It's like, how many times, like, if you're a person who experiences discrimination, like, how many times do you have to experience it before it counts, like, before it's bad enough? And like, how many, like, subtle ones have to happen before, like, you know, a really overt one pisses mm-hmm. you off? Like,
exactly.
And that's the kind of thing is, like, you know, like, there's this idea that, like, you don't, like, you can't be forced to use your creative talents. So this is a quote from a University of Virginia law professor. And he says, the core of this is you can't be compelled to use your creative talents in service of speech that you fundamentally disagree with. That's a pretty clear category. But what that's saying is, like, I fundamentally disagree with, honestly, a lot of the ways that people live. I'm, like, very concerned with climate change. Mm-hmm. I've been a vegetarian for over 20 years and I ain't doing shit to stop any of y'all except for talking about how the outcomes of these behaviors are this and the outcomes of these behaviors are this. With that, make your choice. You're an adult. I can't compel you to do shit. And that's the thing, is it's just always the same folks who are just like, this is how you have to live. And they're like, these folks are also the ones that are just, like, so concerned with their freedom being infringed on, their freedom to tell other people that they can't do stuff.
Right.
That's the freedom that's being infringed upon. Nobody's being stopped from worshiping Jesus. Yeah. Like, not a person in this country is being stopped from that.
Right. It's
not your religious beliefs that are being discriminated against here.
Right.
It's your ability to bark orders at strangers.
Yeah. Well, and they're trying to do that thing of, like, separating. That's why they call it, like, gender ideology as opposed to, because they're trying to separate that and say that it's just a mental disorder. It's not the same thing as something you were born with. That was part of the reason why it was, like, the whole born this way thing. It was like, this is an unalienable part of me. This isn't a choice I made. It's not a thing. And that's why it deserves to be a protected class, because I can't help this thing. Regardless of whether I want to, I can't help this thing.
Yeah.
And what this law is saying is, like, I get to do that with homosexuals. And it's like, yeah. And that's what it's trying to carve out, that you get to do that with that, because my beliefs are against this belief.
Interesting. Yeah.
I think where it's going down to. And the court is stepping away from the idea of, is it a belief or not, by saying, in this very instance, because, I mean, no one is actually being hurt by this, right? like not physically, because there is nobody looking to work with this fucking lady about a fucking wedding website. If anything, this is just an advertisement for her services.
Exactly.
Right. And in a way, she's going to become fucking Black Rifle Coffee or whatever the fuck. And it's going to be garbage people who go to her because they'll tell people it's because they believe in freedom. And it's like, no, this person hates gay people like I do. Mm-hmm. Or this person. No, this person hates gay people like I do. Or we agree on a hatred of gay people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a tough argument, because there is that question of, like, you should be able to say that out loud. And you should be able to have friends based on it. I wouldn't want to be associated with any of y'all, but like, you know, you should still be able to vote. It's not like you can't vote and also hate gay people, but, you know, that's the thing where it's like, I just want to be able to discriminate in my normal day. And yeah. So,
I mean, I think and the larger thing is, again, this is not that now suddenly there's something that's going to directly result. Like, there's not a one-to-one on this, but what it is here is this larger problem with the Supreme Court. We have a bunch of people that are there forever.
Right.
And they have become incredibly conservative. And one of the many things they're doing is siding with people who discriminate.
Right.
That is part of a lot of the stuff they've been doing lately, you know, like affirmative action for college applications. Like, this is just one of many, many decisions, you know, the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Like, this is this is just going to be one of many things in a list. And so it's like,
brace yourselves. This is how it's going to work. We don't have a real check and balance for a crazy fucking court.
Yeah.
And I'm using crazy fucking as a paraphrase for a much more nuanced thing that pretty much leads to crazy fucking, right? Yeah. Like, so we have a crazy court. This kind of shit's going to happen. The reason why it's happening is because all of the other politicians are aging out. They will die. They will. And it's harder to change court decisions. And those people don't have to reapply for the job. Mm-hmm. You can't vote these people out of office. So when you are losing every big election, when you're losing many small elections, where do you try to go to? You try to go to the place you can't be voted out of. And people have been talking about this since the fucking 80s. because that's where all of this shit has been trending. People are gay and they're fun and they like fun and they don't care about homosexuality or transgender identity. They don't care. They just want to live their fucking lives and they want to be able to buy a home if they have a decent job. And they can't do any of that shit because fucking old people want to hold on to their goddamn money. And when they keep being defeated at the poll box, they pull shit like this. And the only real way to fight it is to fight for people in those positions to do the things that are necessary. The stuff I've been reading about is about expanding the court.
Yeah,
that is still a power that the executive branch has. Mm-hmm. I think the executive and the legislative have to agree on that, or maybe probably. It's just an executive thing. Either way, imagine. Maybe. But they can add justices. They do it all the time. They've done it a number of times. We've had this number for a while, but really it's not like we've had this number of judges for 200 years. The number has been expanded. Each president can do it. In a case like this, where we obviously know what's going to happen, you vote for people who are, you make sure that the people that you vote for say that they want to expand the court. You make this a ballot issue. And then blah, 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 blah. But, you know, it takes a lot more work and organization.
Yeah. Or again, just make life completely untenable for the shitty Supreme Court.
For those people.
So they can't go out to dinner anywhere.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Totally.
That would be nice. All right. So before I get too mad about it, time to head to our fucking brilliant. Yeah. We got a nice thing. So this one's a complicated one. It's an interesting one. Yeah. So the complicated thing is that I could not find any articles on this that weren't super transphobic, but the news itself is actually good. The CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, which just provide a lot of information on their websites, have
not recommendations, just information.
Just what information do we have? They offered information on breastfeeding that was trans inclusive, because it is a fact that under a variety of different hormone treatments, people who had not previously breastfed become able to do so. Yes. So like, this is true of people who want to like adopt a baby, but have never given birth. This is true of people who are just, you know, like undergoing some sort of hormonal treatment for whatever reason. And that includes some trans women who want to be able to breastfeed. And because they are inclusive in their language on the website, they say that some folks refer to it as chest feeding, which is a fact. Some people do refer to it as chest feeding. And so they're just affirming an absolute medical fact. And this was the outrage of the day on the dumb, you know, part of the internet. And they were all just like big mad about the CDC, like mixing up science and politics. It was like, I mean, y'all politicize it.
Again, they're trying to say that this is like some weird ideology. And it's like, it's not. It's just another word for a thing. It's just another word for a thing. And it's like, yeah, but that's telling trans people that they're okay.
or just to like provide the information about like stuff that your body does, like okay, so like for instance, I was in a show with a trans woman recently. She's not trying to breastfeed any babies, but because of the hormones she's on, she like started lactating, and like that's just a fact. And I'm glad that she knew that not to freak out. It doesn't mean she has breast cancer or anything. It's like a thing that can happen with hormones. And it's like there are lots of cis women who have difficulty breastfeeding. This is not a like. This is the dumb, you know, bioessentialism of like biological women. And it's like bodies do all sorts of stuff, guys. And like,
and they need help sometimes. That's called medicine.
Just give people medical information. And so what the CDC actually said is like, yes, some trans parents who have had breast or top surgery may wish to breastfeed. And the thing to know is that you need to learn about maximizing milk production, supplementing with pasteurized human milk or for formula or something like that, knowing about what medications are and are not safe to be in breast milk, you know, if you want to suppress lactation on the other end of things, and then finding general support for lactation management, which is a thing that most people breastfeeding will need at some point anyway. So it's unrelated to being trans. It's like, you need to know about all of this stuff. And like, we have every right to that information. And these folks are just big mad that it's being allowed. But the CDC was just like, guess what, bitch? It's science.
Yeah. And the thing behind it is like, oh, some of the drugs, some of the recommendations on how to produce breast milk include drugs that are being used in an off-brand way, an off-label way. Mm-hmm. So it's one of the side effects is that it increases the amount of prolactin, which is one of the hormones that encourages lactation. And some of those drugs can lead to heart palpitations in babies. That's some of them, and probably not all of the time. But what these people are doing is saying, you see, you're putting babies at risk by letting trans people do this. And the CDC is like, we didn't say anything about trans people. We just said that if you can breastfeed, you can do this. And if you go look at the side effects of the drugs that are in this other thing, you will see that we say that you shouldn't use it if you are breastfeeding because it has this potential side effect for a baby. So the CDC is like, we're just posting the information for anyone to have because this information belongs to every citizen because they paid for it.
Yeah, but I mean, it is also, the CDC is also trans inclusive. They do give specific advice for trans parents.
Definitely.
Because again, like there are...
Because those people are also fucking citizens.
Yeah.
And they deserve to have that information made available to them.
Exactly.
And that's the CDC's thing. And so like to this, the CDC is just like, yeah, man, sure. Yeah, that's what you think. We don't think that we're blurring the lines of politics and science.
Yeah, but they're like not responding to any of these like asks for comments from these like shit ass websites. Right. You know, like they're all the ones that are just clickbait and gossip and that kind of stuff. Exactly. And that's the really frustrating thing is that that's the only articles that I could find as of this recording. Hopefully there will be some better ones in subsequent days when real science reporters latch on to this.
Exactly. But once this becomes a big enough story that someone's like, I'll pay you to write about it, then you'll get intelligent people writing about it. But until then, it's people who want to cause an uproar and be on the front end of it so that they end up on a news show getting paid probably nothing to.
It's also really funny to me because this is reminding me of like Meet the Parents and is like, if it's got nipples.
Yeah, you can milk it.
Could you milk me, Greg? And it's like, the answer is yes. Under the right conditions. The answer is
yes. If you wanted to be milked, we could work together to get some milk out of you. You could also work by yourself to get milk out yourself.
Because this is like, I mean, again, I had a great conversation with a friend the other day who was just like, she's cis and like doesn't have a lot of like queer or trans friends, but like she's very open-minded to it. She's had, you know, some questions and I was just, you know, basically just answering them in a space that was safe. And one of the things I said is like, you got to think about how many things cis people do that are gender affirming all the time. Like for me, I have these really long nails. You know, for some people it's about body hair removal. For some people it's about, you know, getting lifts in their shoes or whatever it is that makes you feel more your gender. And we don't necessarily identify those as gender affirming things. And so like when a cis woman gets breast implants,
right,
you know, or you have to have a double mastectomy from breast cancer and you opt to get implants afterwards, which is absolutely your right to do.
And I think covered in some people's insurance.
It's supposed to be. And right. The thing is that's gender affirming. And when that happens, you will have to deal with things differently that come to breast related issues. And so this CDC page was also offering tips for mothers who've had breast surgery, like those things. And it's just like, this is just for everybody. Everybody calm down. Like, are you mad at the ladies getting breast implants too? No, their gender affirmation does not bother you. Interesting. Right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it doesn't help that a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of those arguments are disingenuous because they just want everyone to stop. It's the same thing of like racism will go away if you stop talking about it. But then that means that you have to now spend the time telling everybody to shut up about it. Instead of actually fighting the root causes of it. But again, it's like if you just push it to the margins, then we know what happens to marginalized people. We know what happens to marginalized identities, right? You forget about them. And it usually they become the scapegoats for something way more nefarious that is happening. I can talk until I'm blue in the face about how this, it's stupid to make this an argument, but it's also kind of cool that if you are a woman, that there are a variety of ways you can be, and you can still be able to breastfeed if you find that that is something that you would like to do, or people would pay you to do. I don't know. It's good that it's available.
Yeah, it's just good to know more about bodies. Like, that's the thing, is we're denied so much information about bodies. And like, that's one of the really critical parts of sex education, is just like, literally, how does all of this operate? And you have the right to know that. We have the information. It's it not should like be we don't a
right.
know.
Right.
Yeah. You have it's every right to know. To know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So shout out to the CDC for holding it down in this particular capacity. I hope that they don't get a bunch of, I mean, I know they're getting a bunch of crap for it, but I hope that they don't.
I hope
they feel better about more. Posting it as a result.
Exactly. I hope you get paid more because of this, as opposed to being harassed more.
I hope it draws more attention to the issue, honestly. Yeah. All of their outrage. I hope that it, like, when the person who does not think about trans issues because it just doesn't affect them comes across this information, they go, I didn't know that. And then they move on with their lives.
And then they come to the conclusion that, man, these anti-trans folks are reaching. All of the time, they are always reaching, because trans people are just trying to live their fucking lives. A lot of this shit is information that you would never find out about a person if you just shut your fucking mouth. A lot of this information, you walk by somebody and they're taking hormones to breastfeed, has no fucking indication on the rest of your life.
Yeah, does not. Yeah.
And so, realize that these people are reaching. Why? Again, causation is not correlation, but I think a lot of those people don't have better fucking things to do.
Ooh. All right. Well, speaking of other things to do.
Yeah. Speaking of better fucking things to do, huh? Yeah.
Let's talk about us. So, like, Daryl, for instance, where can the people find out more about you? Where can they see your comedy? Where can they buy your merch and your album?
Yes. You can go to darylcomedy.com for that. You can totally do that. That would be fun. Other than that, you can, I have things popping up in Pennsylvania and other places. It's going to be on my calendar. That's a page on my website, darylcomedy.com, or you can follow me on the internet, Daryl_. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I just got a TikTok, so I'm on there too. All Daryl_. It would be nice to see you on the interwebs liking and commenting and subscribing or whatever what the kids are doing. Dr. Timmery, where can the people find out more about you?
You can find more about me at drtimmery.com. That's DrTimmaree. And that's where I post the blog, where we have like links to the stories we've talked about here and other stories, as well as my events. I've also just got a calendar up there as well that has my link tree for all the tickets you can buy to various shows. So for instance, not sure when this episode is going to go up, but one of the things we have coming up is Get You a Babe Who Can Do Both. That is July 23rd. That is going to feature TED Talks and burlesque by the same performer. So that's a fun one. And we've got the Slut Church Summer of Sin happening every Tuesday all summer. And if you just want to see pictures of my butt, you can go on Instagram to honeytree.evileye. And that's where I also post more stuff about my events coming up. So yay.
Yeah, we did it.
We did it. Yeah. Well, thank you to our editor and producer, Flirt Vonnegut.
Yes. Great. Thanks.
And thank you all of you for listening, for supporting the show for 10 flim flamin' years.
Oh, and, so awesome.
We will let you know if we have any more upcoming live things happening. We have aspirations. We have hopes for that.
We are working. So, thank you for listening. Tell your friends, like, share, subscribe.
We're DT Fun Hour on all of the socials, well, at least on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
Yes, that's right. DT Fun Hour on those things.
Thank you all for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Bye bye.